Today, we're looking at Luke 22, and we're going to do things a little bit differently today. This is the matchless power of the Son of God. Last week, we had the opportunity to look at Revelation 4, and it showed us a picture of what it's like in heaven and the authority of God on the throne, that the one holy creator God alone will receive the worship of all creation. And so we saw his power, his greatness. Today, we have a chance to look at the greatness of God in the person of Jesus Christ. And I want to invite you to imagine, as I tell a story, I want you to imagine if we are a congregation, say 40-some years after Jesus' death, sometime in the first century, we're in a Christian church together. They didn't have Zoom, but so use your imagination if you're coming by Zoom. Probably in that service that day, they had had a time of singing, a time of prayer, a time of hearing testimony. And in this special service, they also had somebody who had been an eyewitness of Jesus. And being some 40 years later, there weren't too many of them left. And so this day, we get to hear from somebody who tells the story of what it was like to be with Jesus in person. And so let me pray and ask for God's blessing and work through this time. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you are good, that you are powerful, you are present. And Holy Spirit, we ask this morning that you would bless the word, that you would be at work, that you would teach us, and that we would see your glory, Jesus, your power, and we would have great faith in you. Through your name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning to you. It's great to join together with God's people in worship. My name is John, and I was with Jesus. But, you know, when I say that, everybody asks, so are you the Apostle John? It's like, no, I'm not the Apostle John. Well, then are you John the Baptist? No, I'm not John the Baptist. Well, then are you John, who is part of the high priestly family? No, I'm not him either. Well, maybe you're John Mark. No, I'm not him either. Do you have any idea what it's like to have so many people with the same name, John? We try to keep track of things. So now my name is John. I'm the younger brother of Judas. No, not that Judas. The other Judas who was an apostle. And I was his younger brother. You don't know anything about me because when Judas started to follow Jesus, he was too young. I was too young. He was the right age. I was too young. I couldn't go. I was 11, and I heard my brother talk about these times to be with Jesus. And, you know, now I'm looking back 40-some years later, but there was a day when I turned 12. I went to my parents, and I begged, and I begged, and said, can I at least spend a day with Jesus? Could I be with him once? Could I just follow along? And they said, well, if your brother is willing to put up with you, then we'll say okay. So I go to Jesus. Please don't embarrass me, but okay, you come. So this was the day I was able to go and spend a day when Jesus was with his disciples. And I was really excited about this. I knew he was an amazing teacher. Jesus told these great stories. I confess, I often didn't really understand what all was a part of these stories. It was more than I could understand, and yet I knew it was powerful. Because sometimes people got really upset with them, especially the religious leaders. And I actually felt like this is an exciting thing to see him talk with these religious leaders and challenge them. And so I hoped that maybe on this day I would see him teach big crowds and especially religious leaders. And I would see the debate. I also knew that Jesus was an amazingly good person. I had heard about how he had cared for people who were unimportant or were judged in society. I knew that he was somebody who said, you should love your enemies. And it actually seemed like he did. He was a good man. So I thought, here's a great day. I'm going to go and see Jesus teach to great crowds, debate with the religious leaders, and show his goodness. And so I came and all the disciples were around and I'm a little bit sheepish. I'm along with them and I'm sticking close to Judas. And then here comes Jesus and I'm so excited. And Jesus walks up to the crowd and he says, hey, everybody, who's that? And I'm thinking, oh, no, I'm not welcome to be here at all. And Judas says, oh, that's my kid brother. He wanted to come. And Jesus came and said, it's wonderful that you're here. And in fact, can you tell me your name? I said, it's John. He says, I like the name. He said, I have a task for you. I've got a bag. We might need it later. Would you carry it for me today? And I was thrilled. So I put that bag on. And it's like, okay, now I can be a part of things. And Jesus says, great. And then he said to the disciples, he said to all of them, tell you what, today, let's get in the boat and go to the other side of the lake. And I was so disappointed, right? The other side of the lake means Gentile territory. This isn't where Jewish people are. This is where Gentile people are. You're not going to find any religious leaders there. So there went the hope for a great debate. You're not going to have great crowds there. And so there went the hope for Jesus teaching this big crowd. But I thought, well, at least I'll be with them. And this will be a day of adventure. So we climb into the boat. And Jesus, he looks off across the lake and talks to Peter, one of the great boaters, one of the great fishermen among the disciples. And he says, you see that mountain over there, Peter? Take us over there. Could you do that? Peter says, well, sure, I could do that. Are you sure? You think you can take care of this? Because I'm kind of thinking of taking a nap. Can you handle this? And Peter, a little bit offended, says, of course we can. And then Jesus arranged things on a bench and went to sleep. And I'm thinking, this is not what I hoped for. Now it's me and this motley group of people that don't belong together. I don't know them very well. I came to be with Jesus, and I happened to get his off day. I came today on the day of rest, and he's sleeping there. So here we are, me and this group of men that I don't know, and we start across the lake. And I wasn't a boater at the time. I was okay. This is fine. It was as long as they're in charge, they're taking care of it. So we start, and the wind is blowing, and there's some waves, and that's okay. Then the wind blew a little bit more, and the waves are a little bit bigger, and boy, I'm trying not to embarrass myself or my older brother, and so I'm pretending that I'm okay. The wind started to blow some more, and the waves started to blow, and I noticed Judas is looking a little bit nervous too. So I decide I'm not going to look at him. I'm going to look at Peter and Andrew and James and John. They're the ones who are good at being in the boat, and so I watched them. I'm like, okay, we're all right. The wind blew some more, and the waves are getting bigger, and I'm just holding on, and pretty soon I notice scared looks between Peter and Andrew and James and John, and they're saying, wow, can you see the shore anymore? And where is that wind coming from? And pretty soon, they're shouting and they're bailing, and they really are afraid. And I look over, and Jesus is sleeping still. And they're afraid, and they're nudging each other, saying, we got to get Jesus up. We need some help, right? No, I don't want to do that. He made such a big deal that we're going to take care of this. But eventually, they're so scared, they go over and they shake Jesus and say, Master, Master, we're going to drown. It's just amazing. Jesus, I watched him. And as he woke up, there was kind of a smirk on his face. And he says, hey, Peter. Hey, how are you doing? He turned and he looked at me and he said, not quite as boring as you thought it would be, is it? And he chuckled. And then he stood up and they kept saying, Jesus, we're going to drown. Enough with the small talk. Would you do something? So Jesus stood up. The boat's shaken and somehow he stands there and he says, wind, waves, enough already. And it was calm. And I'm not saying just like the wind stopped. The wind stopped and instantly the waves stopped and it was completely calm. And I thought, wow, this is so cool. I have a story to tell today. I'm just so happy. And Jesus turned to the disciples, to Peter in particular, and said, so where's your faith? Where is your faith? And Peter didn't have much to say. And Jesus said, remember that mountain over there? Can we keep going there? There's no wind right now. We're just kind of sitting here in the middle of the lake. Could we keep going? And so they all grabbed paddles and they had to propel us that way. And I watched them. And these disciples weren't as happy as I was. I mean, they seemed to be relieved, yet also they seemed pretty upset. And I'm trying to make sense what's going on. I say, Judas, what is going on? And Judas says, well, come on over and listen. And I listened. And the disciples were saying to each other, who is this? I mean, I know his name's Jesus, but who is this? He's a great teacher, but who's this? He's a good person, but who is this? He even gives commands to the wind and the waves, and they obey. And so they kept paddling, and the puzzled looks, and I'm trying to make sense of all this, and we get closer and closer. Eventually, we get pretty close to the shore, and Jesus says, "Hey, Peter, can you see that spot over there? Could you take us to the shore in that spot?" And Peter says, "Really, Jesus? You sure you want to go there?" And I was trying to look and see where it was that he was pointing, and right on the shore, right where it was, it's between two things, neither of which I wanted to get close to. One was a giant herd of pigs. And I don't know for you all what animals just make you feel gross, and I don't even want to look at it, but that's pigs for me. And the pigs, there were thousands of them, just all over the hillside, and they're stinky and smelly and dirty, and they scare me when I'm close to them. And Jesus says, "Go over there right next to that huge herd of pigs." The other side was no better. The other side was a set of tombs in a Gentile cemetery. And this is a place that was dirty and scary, and I wanted nothing to do with it. And I could tell the others didn't want to either. But Jesus says, right there in between those, "Would you take us there, Peter?" "Okay." So they bring us up to the beach, and eventually we get close enough, Jesus hops out. And as soon as he hops out, there is this screaming wild animal running out of the tombs. And oh, I'm so scared. I don't know what to do. And the screaming, and it's just a frightening thing. And then I realized it's not a wild animal. This is kind of a human being. But looking like he's going to tear things apart and attack. And as we were getting out, all of a sudden I see the other disciples backing away. At first they were leading the way. And I kind of thought they would be protecting Jesus. But no, they all kind of made like a V behind Jesus, hiding, saying, "Wait a minute. This man, in his horrible voice, came up screaming and fell down in front of Jesus. And as he fell down in front of Jesus, for a moment, it was calm. And then Jesus said, "Evil spirit, come out of the man." And as soon as he said that, there was just shrieking and flailing of arms, and it was just so frightening. And as Jesus says, "Evil spirit, come out of the man." And again, they're shrieking and just chaos. And then Jesus says, "What's your name?" And now the voice that comes in response isn't one voice, but it sounded like thousands of voices together. It says, "Legion," because there are so many demons here. And I'm hiding back, and the other disciples are hiding back. You know how it is? I desperately want to see, but I don't want to be too close. But I could see on this man, there are scars and cuts from where he had been chained up. There was even a chain still on one leg that obviously he'd broken away from where they had tried to tie him up. He was no longer really a human being. He was lost. Jesus again says, "Evil spirit, come out of this man." And he screams out. He says, "Jesus, Son of the Most High God, what have you to do with me? What have you to do with me?" He says, "Jesus, Son of the Most High God, don't torture me. Don't send me to the abyss. Don't send me to the place where judgment is. Don't do that." As Jesus stood there, continued to scream. And then the man would stand up and he'd look around looking like there was something he wanted to destroy or to attack. And then he'd go down and say, "Don't send us into the abyss. Don't send us into the abyss. Don't torture us." And he'd stand up and he'd look around, and I was so scared he'd look at me and think, "I'm going to come attack you." And all of a sudden the man looked and he saw the pigs on the hill. And he turned to Jesus and said, "The pigs, send us into the pigs." And Jesus said, "Okay." And all of a sudden, the man would there would be a shriek and shaking. And then it would let up a little bit. And off in the hill, you could see some of the pigs just going crazy. And you could hear the squeals. And then it would happen again. And the man, there would be a shriek. And then he would be calm again. And more of the pigs would just start going crazy. And pretty soon the man was calm, and that hillside full of pigs, there was squealing and biting and attacking. You should have seen the pig herders. Oh my, they ran. They were trying to get out of there because these pigs were wild. And it was just a horrible mess. And then not like a flock of birds going down someplace, just in chaos. One by one, they started running down toward the lake, and they fell into the lake. And more until eventually the whole herd, thousands of them, were in the lake. And in the lake, it was like the water was boiling. It was just streaking and all the chaos. One by one, they started to drown. They were drinking in the water. They could no longer breathe. And pretty soon, it was quiet. Pretty soon, it was just a bunch of dead pigs in the lake. And this is when my attention turned back to look up on the hillside, and I saw those pig herders, and they were frozen in fear. And then I saw them turn and run. And as they ran, I could hear the shouting that says, "There is evil by the lake." A boat came, and there is evil by the lake. And they went running and screaming. And they went off telling people everywhere. And at this point, I realized I'd kind of forgotten about what was happening in front of us. That this man that had been so crazy was now calmly in front of Jesus. Jesus had actually found some soap in the boat. This man had gotten a bath. Not just his feet, but the whole of him was washed. And I'm standing there stunned as this transformation took place. And Jesus says, "Hey, could you bring that bag over, John? Could you bring that over?" And I went and I got it and I opened it up. And in the bag was a brand new set of clothes. And Jesus said, "Could you bring that over? I think he could use those now." And so I bring that set of clothes and the man puts it on. And he sits down in front of Jesus. And he says, "Jesus, what just happened?" And Jesus started to teach and started to explain. And he was a wonderful disciple there. And the other disciples also wanted to hear. And I wanted to hear. So we sat there. And I looked across the set of us. And I realized the person who was the cleanest, the best dressed, and the most sane among us was this man who a few minutes ago had been this crazed creature. We sat and we listened. That's when I noticed crowds coming over the hillside, and they were coming, and there was all sorts of pointing and shouting, and they saw the boat, and they came toward the boat, and when the herders went off, I don't think they knew anything about what had happened. They just knew that a boat came, and then chaos broke loose. And so they came closer, they saw Jesus, and then they saw the man. They said, "What is going on here? It's like, that can't be the man. That can't be the same one that's been terrorizing us for years. That can't be him." But some who had not run away stood there and said, "Let me tell you what happened. Jesus, this man, he came up on the beach and just with a word, this man was transformed." And that's when the pigs went crazy. They described this. And these people were terrified. They saw this and they thought, "This is a power we don't understand, this power coming from someplace else. And now, guess what? These demons seem like they're on the loose. We had a peace with this legion. We could just keep them over there, and now we're fine." This power is loose, and we don't know what to do with it. And so they came up to Jesus slowly, and they were so afraid. I think, "You don't know this man. Don't need to be afraid," but they were so afraid of him. And they came up a little bit closer and they said, "Jesus, could you leave? We don't want you here." And then they would step back and so afraid, but "Could you leave?" And Jesus said, "Okay." I was so surprised. It seems like Jesus listens to the people who don't like him more than he does the people who do like him. And he says, "Okay, I'll leave." And so we all started over back to get in the boat, to head back the other side. And that's when I noticed this man who was so chaotic and frightening was actually rather soft-spoken. And he came close to the boat as we were about to push off, and he said, "Jesus, I have a request. Could I be a disciple? Could I go with you?" And Jesus said, "Yes and no." He says, "Of course, you are my disciple. You are one who listens to me and you have been freed." But Jesus said, "No, I want you to be my disciple here. I want you to go to your family, to your city, and tell them what God has done for you. And there was at once a sense of disappointment for the man, but also a sense of great honor. You see, he became the first missionary to the Gentiles that Jesus sent off. And as we went off into the lake and looked back, we saw this man talking to the crowd. The people who would not listen to Jesus were now listening to him as he told what Jesus had done. And so the rest of us were in the boat, and I'm trying to make sense of this day, and so were all the disciples. And I heard them say, "Did you hear what that man said? Said Jesus is the Son of the Most High God. We saw today his power is greater than any other power we can imagine. And he used that power to deliver his people through the storms of life." And so I tell you this today because this is a story that we in the church have been saying to each other for the decades since then. Jesus is the Son of the Most High God. He has power beyond anything you can imagine. And he uses that power to deliver his people through the storms of life. And we eventually learned through death itself. And every time that we are afraid, every time we look and we say, this problem is too big, somebody will say, in the words of Jesus, "Where's your faith? Jesus is the Son of the Most High God. He has power beyond anything you can imagine. And he uses that power to rescue his people from the storms of life and even through death itself." And so, of course, we struggle with things. Over the decades, we have struggled with things. I think back to when Stephen was killed, when the persecution began, and we look at the powers of government, whether it's Rome or Jerusalem, and we say, these are too big for us. And the Holy Spirit will say to us, "Where is your faith? Jesus is the Son of the Most High God who has more power than you can imagine. And he uses it to deliver his people through the storms of life and even through death itself." And I know you all know the stories in the churches since then. We've had some dark days. We've had people who use the church as a place to serve themselves and be hypocrites and lie and manipulate things. And we think, how can the church survive? We have churches that divide into pieces and say, "Oh, I follow this person and I follow that person." And we look at it, we say, how can the church survive? Right? And we see churches that follow heresy like that church in Galatia, and they're believing what is false. And we say, how will the church survive? And the Holy Spirit says to us, "Where is your faith? Jesus is the Son of the Most High God, and he has more power than you can imagine. And he uses that power to deliver people through the storms." It's then that I was really becoming to realize Jesus could have planned the day so that we would have avoided that storm. But he planned the day so we'd go right through it. He could have picked a different place to go on the beach, but he decided to go right between the herd of pigs and the cemetery so that we would go right into the center of the storm and see his deliverance through it. And in reality, we came to see this in the life of Jesus himself, right? Because his path took him right through the center of the storm. He took upon himself to die for us, to go right into the heart of the storm. And he did say to his father, "If there's any other way," but the father said, "No, this is the path right through the center of the storm." And my brother tells about the times when the disciples all scattered and the Holy Spirit says, "Where is your faith? Jesus is the Son of the Most High God who has more power than you can comprehend." And with that power, he came back to life. After a gruesome death and judgment, even from the Father himself, because he took our sin on him. And yet, like the storm in the sea, like the storm in this man with the evil spirits, with just an expression of his will, sin and death lost their power. Just like Jesus standing up and saying, "Enough already." He says, "Enough already," and sin and death is done forever. And so I say to you today, what are your storms? Where are you facing a storm in life? And sometimes the storm is as big as the world in a place like Myanmar. And sometimes the storm is very personal. And it's saying, "I can't love somebody because I have been hurt so deeply and I can't forgive." I have such deep hurt and pain, and I can't respond well to this. It's in relationships. It's in the church. And the Holy Spirit says to us, where is your faith? And it's not an accusation. It's an invitation. It's an invitation to say, will you have faith? Jesus Christ is the Son of the Most High God. He has more power than you can comprehend. And he uses that power to deliver his people through the storms of life and even through death itself. I thought it was going to be a really boring day. It turned out to be a day that changed my life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. Oh, we thank you for your word and the reality of it. We thank you for your power and we give you praise. And Jesus, we praise you for you are the Son of the Most High God. And you have more power than we can comprehend. It is so far beyond us. Nothing can match it. Nothing can compete with it. And Jesus, you use that power to deliver your people through the storms of life. And Father, for us today, we have many storms that we are facing. And you say to us, where is your faith? Father, we ask that you would increase our faith, that you would help us to see your power. Jesus, help us to see who you are, your great goodness. We thank you that you are the power. You are the life that rescues us from sin and death. And so we put our hope in you. We give you praise. Thank you for teaching us today. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.